It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave. The second week of the practice season is in the books for the Packers. They win by a score that looks, you know, pretty convincing, 17-point win, 51-34. I don't think really the game was as lopsided as the score would indicate, but then again, it's preseason, doesn't really matter. Packers get a couple of pick sixes, which, you know, really, I think, helped make that game score look, you know, more bloated than maybe that it was. So, Dave, when I'm thinking about this game, I know we're going to talk a lot about the offense and the wide receivers and, you know, probably do our quarterback thing again, but the first thing I want to talk about is the defense, because I was disturbed at the beginning of the game with the ease that Pittsburgh, with their second-string quarterback, was able to move on the Packers' defense. Now, again, it's preseason, but it was the Packers' first-team defense. Were you bothered at all by that?
Yeah, I certainly was. As I was watching it, I thought their run defense in particular was pretty weak.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's supposed to be a strength of theirs, their defensive line. And once the backs got through the defensive line, their linebackers seemed to get blocked easy, and then our safeties missed a bunch of tackles, which is familiar, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it going to be that last year, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix wasn't tackling because basically we're out of it, but now he's doing the same thing because it's just preseason? At what point is he going to step up and play hard, or, you know, live up to his billing? But then Bryce, I think, missed a couple of tackles and got thrown out of the way. But, you know, let's see. Mike Daniels didn't play, but Kenny Clark and then Wilkerson played. So, and he had a couple of good plays in there.
He was active. Yeah, he was active.
Clay Matthews played. Perry didn't play. But, you know, there were some good things. And I'll tell you what, Chris, if our run defense is not as good as our pass defense, and our pass defense is actually pretty good, I'll take that. Because I think if you're going to commit to beating us running the ball, every once in a while you're going to get on a first and 10 a run that's going to be stopped at the line of scrimmage. Now it's second and 10. And you can see, you know, hopefully we have a good pass defense that can stop that. And I was encouraged by our pass defense. I thought, the interception.
They were
excellent. And I wonder if, you know, our pass defense is going to be better. Josh Jackson looked really, really strong. Someone had wrote that they paid attention to Jair Alexander, and even though I don't recall ever finding his number on the screen, they said he looks good, he's super smooth, he just kind of runs at a different speed than everybody else, and I thought, I hope that's true.
Well, he played only one series, I think.
Oh, did he? Okay. Because he's been dinged up, and right? I mean...
Right. He's had some camp, you know, injuries. But I think what kind of got me about the whole thing, you mentioned the run defense, which I know they're going to say, people are going to say, well, you know, they don't scheme for this, it's not the regular season. But still, run defense, isn't it kind of just, you know, you against me and we're going to, you know, battle and the best team's going to win? And if that's the case, you know, we had problems. That there seemed to be issues with how the linebackers were filling those holes. Burks, their third round draft choice. I know he's gotten a lot of praise. He's very quick, but he was not playing the run game well at all. They had Blake Martinez out there, and you know he seemed to be in the wrong place on those things. It wasn't just Clinton Dix, although he had his problems too. It was Bryce and others that just weren't where they should be, and when they were kind of getting pushed around. Now, I don't want to make too much of it. Second practice game, a long way to go. But I have a hard time alibying, well, they didn't have this guy or that guy. During the regular season, they're not going to have a guy or two every game anyway. I mean, right. That's just the way it works. Guys are always going to be hurt. So the group that they threw out there on Thursday might be very much the kind of, you know, team that they have in the fourth game of the season. It just, I'm not making too much of it. It just was disappointing to see a second team quarterback, you know, move them down the field against the Packers number ones as easily as that happened. As far as the pick six goes, well, yeah, the guy is the second team quarterback and he was kind of locked in, you know, on that guy. So Tremont Williams, old veteran, he saw that, made the play. Jackson later on did the same thing, but it was the same kind of play where, you know, he was the quarterback was locked on the receiver. And not to diminish it, he still had to make the catch and run it into the end zone. So I'm wondering, now this is something for you to chew on, Dave. maybe it wasn't Dom. Maybe their players just aren't that good.
Wait, maybe that's true. I think, though, the defensive line is going to be strong when you get Mike Daniels and Clark and Wilkerson and Lowry and some of these other guys that will rotate in there. I think they're going to be better than what we saw here. I'm a little worried about the linebackers. You mentioned the rookie Oren Burks. I think his play was mixed. He had one great play where he just shot through the line of scrimmage and tackled the guy for a loss. Like, we don't have that in Ryan or Martinez. I mean, Oren Burks can move quickly, but if the guards get to the second level and they get on him, then he's too light. He can't fight off a block if he's engaged. I did see a replay against the Titans where they're kind of moving laterally, and the guard tried to get him and dive at his feet, and he was able to stay on his feet and tackle the runner. Like, he can move side to side and sort of avoid a guard, but, you know, a head-to-head collision, he's a smaller guy. But I think the key is for those guys up front to occupy the blockers there and then let the linebackers move around. I think that could be better than last year. The safeties, though, I saw there's a lot of Twitter talk that the Packers should be trying to trade or sign Eric Reed. Are you familiar with it? I can't think of who Eric Reed is, but he's a safety, is he?
You know, I think that's right. I did recall seeing that. But, of course, when I heard the name, the first thing I thought of was, they want to sign Ed Reed? Isn't that guy like 45 years old?
Yeah, Eric Reed, I guess, was he was originally with San Francisco, I'm looking up here.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You know,
yeah.
If they did something like that, you know, upgraded their safety, because Bryce has always been – I feel like Bryce has always been the guy that's in when someone else is injured.
He. I want to say he's an undrafted free agent who, you know, kind of popped out. And now I know Tremont Williams was an undrafted free agent, but still, it always makes you wonder, you know, if the talent is there behind that. And he strikes me as kind of a try-hard guy. Not that you can't be good if you're a try-hard guy, but I don't know if he's the most talented, you know, guy around.
I thought our corners played well. I mean, the two picks that you had, but also I thought House had good coverage. I mean, there was a three and out to begin the game. I don't know if you remember that. The first series was
the pick six.
That's right.
The second series. I thought the second series they went down and scored the touchdown. Maybe it was the third series.
I've got the third series or the second series was a three and out.
Okay,
and then they scored two touchdowns after that.
Yeah, okay.
And then it was kind of back and forth. So, yeah, it was in those second two series. Now, I don't know if guys came out. That was after, well, I mean, the one was just interception. The other was three and out. So was it still the starting defense for the third and fourth drives? I don't recall. I know Wilkerson was in the whole time. I mean, there's some starters for sure.
Yeah, and I didn't notice Alexander. He must have come out after that three and out. So maybe that was a big thing, you know, when he came out of the game. I mean, maybe that did make it a lot easier for Pittsburgh to move the ball. But mostly the starters were still on, or at least if not the starters, the high substitutes, not Mason Crosby high substitutes, but the second string guys who were going to play a lot were on the field at that time. Yeah. Again, it's hard to know really what you're seeing there. It could have been very vanilla Pittsburgh, you know, because this is a second string guy. Maybe they were trying to, you know, press more, and the Packers weren't really scheming very much. I don't recall a lot of, you know, blitzes or anything creative they were trying to do. So, you know, maybe it's nothing to be alarmed about. It just seemed too easy to me when you have a backup quarterback who throws a pick six but still manages a 116 rating. I mean, that's when you wind up with two touchdowns and one interception, that usually is going to mean your rating is going to be in the 80s at best. But this is a guy that Dobbs rolled a 116, and it just makes me uncomfortable because maybe it's my expectations. You know,
yeah, I think that's right.
By the change of defensive coordinator, if nothing else, forget scheme. I just thought you'd see an energy and aggression that you haven't seen, especially based on some of the early comments coming out of camp and the OTAs. And instead, what I saw was pretty much the same kind of play that they had the last few years under Dom. You know, guys missing assignments, guys missing tackles, guys getting run over. It just, I don't know. It was disappointing to me.
Yeah, certainly the safeties play I thought was very alarming. Kyler Fackrell had an awful play. He collapsed inside and just fell and gave the edge just wide open for that running back to – that was, I think, a big run of their big runs that they had. I think – you know, when you think when the Packers were good in 2010, 2011 – 2010, I think they were better. 2011, their key was they got turnovers.
They got turnovers. Yeah, their yardage, they were last in the league in yardage, but they had a lot of turnovers, and that covered up a lot of those mistakes. The other part, that offense was so good, the defense was on the field a lot, and other teams were just airing it out.
Right.
But the 2010 defense was quite good, and you have a young Clay Matthews at that point, and you had Desmond Bishop was playing. You know, when your buddy Barnett went down, Desmond Bishop played, and that helped things along a lot. But they haven't had that kind of player a lot since that time.
No. And I don't know if they have one this year, unless they sign Khalil Mack. What do you think about that discussion?
I was just going to mention that. yeah, it's intriguing, and the story surfaced, and I thought it would go away after a couple of days. But it's been persistent over a couple of weeks where the Packers' name keeps coming up as a potential to land Khalil Mack. And, you know, normally I am not the kind of guy that, you know, wants to, you know, get rid of draft choices on a player that, you know, has a name. Because oftentimes that name comes after a few years of performance, and by the time the name is known, that player is beyond their peak. This guy, though, I think might still be at his peak. And I don't believe he's a Reggie White kind of transformational player. But he will cost a lot of money. And, you know, before they would get him, they'd have to renegotiate the contract. I'm less concerned about them giving up two first-round draft picks for him. And that seems to be where the discussion's been. They have two first-round picks this year coming up. But they'll probably be late in the first round type picks, and not to diminish them, they are first round picks, but Mack is still a guy that's got some road ahead of him. He's, you know, probably got three maybe peak seasons yet ahead of him. The issue for me, Dave, is if you're going to pay Aaron Rodgers, and the story is still out there that they are still working to get his extension, and then how can you afford to pay Mack, who sounds like he's going to be, you know, $100 million guy as well, and you still have Clay Matthews. I'm not sure how you can afford to sign him, not so much the draft picks, but the contract it's going to take to get this guy. I'm excited about the possibility in, you know, if you take out all of the costs, but I just don't see how you can have a big contract like that for Rodgers and then also pay an absolutely huge contract for Mack.
Well, so there's three levels of free agent signings. There's the Twitter fans, people like me, that want it to happen. Yep. There's the reporters who say this should happen, and then the Packers that actually make it happen. This thing has gotten to that second level. Like, the reporters are writing about this and saying this, they should do this, they can afford to do this, because from what I've read, it's not an issue of signing Rodgers to get Mack. It's a function of probably keeping Matthews and Cobb when their contracts are up. And I'm willing to give that up too.
I don't think they're going to keep those guys. I mean, I assume that when their contracts are done, both Matthews and Cobb are pretty much done as well. I mean, Matthews for sure.
Well, I don't know if any of that is for sure. I mean, it depends on how they play and you know, would they take a lower number? But I think it kind of guarantees that you can't pay those guys big numbers. So regardless, as if they have an amazing year, they find the fountain of youth and they have this amazing season, it probably means you can't sign them back. But you'd have them this year, and if you had Mack and Matthews together, and I just think I would love to see that defense. But I'll be honest, I know Mack is a good player, and I know we've played them or on Monday Night Football or something. I mean, they're always on him. But I can't say I've seen him or I've ever focused and watched him play. So I don't know, is he really, like, I know no one's like Reggie White, but could he tilt the defense so greatly that we go from a top 20 to a top 10? I mean, because then we are definitely in the running for a Super Bowl, I think, because I think the offense looks really good to me, and that was confirmed the other night. So, I mean, I would do the deal. I would spend the draft picks, the money. I just, I'm a fan. I just spend the money and figure it out later. I would say if we pay up now and maybe pay for it later, that's a trade I would be willing to do, because I want Super Bowls. I don't want three consecutive years of playoffs and devastating losses. I want to get another Super Bowl under the belt. So I would go ahead and do this deal if it's possible, understanding that I don't understand the finances of all this.
This is one of those occasions I'm not concerned about the damage that it will do to them in the future. You know, I have always been, yes, I want to win the Super Bowl, but yes, I want to contend every single season. And the thing I like about Mac is that he's not a guy at the tail end of his career.
Yeah, he's not old, right.
Right, yeah.
He could be, you have Aaron Rodgers on offense, you have Mac maybe on defense, and you fill in the rest for years to come. I mean, that could be a huge difference maker. But one other thing that I don't understand is he's a holdout right now, so he's clearly got a personality issue, and I don't understand, right. is he in the middle of his contract, or is he, he's not a free agent, so I guess he's just looking for more money. That's not a great sign. That could be us in a couple of years, I suppose, and that's a factor too, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is in the life of his deal, but I know that it's coming up. He may be this may be his walk year coming up, I'm thinking. I'd have to look at that to be sure. And I know what you're saying, you know, you Sterling Sharp on the eve of the season deciding that his deal wasn't good, right? So he's gonna hold out. And that is clearly a problem, but you know that he's gonna be happy if he gets a new deal, at least for a couple of years, right? He may be unhappy after 3 years where he sees how much everybody else is making, but for a couple of years you're gonna have him. And fact of the matter is, in the NFL, shelf lives, you know, things erode pretty quickly. So if you did sign him and you made the trade, you signed him and you had him for, you know, three productive seasons, and if he got, you know, pissy at that point, or if he just wasn't playing like you needed him to, or injury was a factor, well, you know, if you structure it in such a way that, yeah, you're going to have to pay him out for 3 years, but maybe the last year or two you can absorb, letting him go, I don't think that's a bad deal. And the other thing that's changed in my viewpoint, and I don't know if this factors into your calculus, Dave, but I view Aaron Rodgers right now as being a four-year player.
Yeah.
And so the window for the Packers, I think, is 4 years. Not that they can't, you know, find another decent quarterback to carry them on, but the chances of that, you know, are pretty remote. And so if you are going to win, you probably are going to win with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And I view that as being a four-year proposition. So Khalil Mack, if you could be a three- or four-year player, this makes sense to me right now, because the window's not closing, but it is narrowing a little bit. And I think if you're going to make this move, you got the two first-round picks next year, I think now's the time to make this move.
Yeah, as I get older, Chris, I think – I value the present much more in the future because of, yeah, Rodgers' age, but also my age. Like, there's no guarantee I'm going to be around in 2020. I wanted to win a Super Bowl right now, and I think they are maybe one step away from doing that. Rushing the quarterback is not a strength of theirs, although we should give a shout-out to Reggie Gilbert, who, once again, Mr. August, as you call him.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah.
But he... you know, it would be interesting to see him in the mix with Perry and Matthews, and if you had Mack in there. I suppose you could move Matthews to middle linebacker, possibly, or maybe you just be overall very creative in how you structure the defense. You could do lots of different things. I just think he would lift our defense quite a bit if he's playing at the level that I'm vaguely aware that he plays at. I mean, he's like a star in this league. I think that would make it more fun. Offensively, I'm going to enjoy watching the season. Defensively, rather than sitting on the edge of my seat, it'd be fun. I mean, remember the days we used to watch the defense with Reggie White? I would just watch him. Every play, he was doing something good. It's just he may not have always gotten to the ball, but if a quarterback was throwing, he was getting there. A lot of times he did get there. That would be fun to watch again, actually have a defense that pushes back rather than bends but doesn't break, kind of a philosophy.
You know, I'm not really sure what to make of that defense at this point. It's why I raised it initially. I think we need to wait until the real games start to make an evaluation. The corners, I'm surprisingly pleased. I mean, they seem to be good, and they seem to have depth there. A little concerned about the safeties. Linebackers, I think they got some problems there. But yet there's some intriguing people. You know, Reggie Gilbert, you know, could be okay off of the edge, but, you know, when the real games start, we'll find out. I am intrigued about Burks, but I think they'd be a lot better with Matthews in the middle. I could definitely see, you know, having a lineup where you have Matthews in the middle, if you would have a Khalil Mack, and I don't know how much you can count on Nick Perry. He's always hurt. But then you're filling in with a Blake Martinez or, you know, a Burks or something. I mean, that would be a lot more interesting. The issue is that in the NFL, unlike, say, I don't know, Major League Baseball, where you can usually count on guys being available, or if they do get hurt, it's, you know, it's something that's going to pass in a while. In the NFL, guys get hurt so much, and you miss a couple of games, you know, you miss 12.5% of the season. So it's I hate gambling by putting so much onto a single player, right? You give up two first-round picks, big contract, he plays a physical position, and the guy either gets hurt where he can't play, or he gets hurt where he's diminished, and then you have, you know, that investment kind of shot, and that means that you're not able to, you know, go out and do other things that you might normally want to do. So the Packers might be in a posture, again, as they have been, where they're going to have to outscore teams rather than count on a defense to hold somebody down.
Yeah, I guess if I had to be optimistic or pessimistic, I'm still on the optimistic side. I think the coach, given, you know, a full scheme and you know, really trying and not disguising anything or hiding any of the playbook, I'm interested to see how that looks. And I just think that having corners be stronger than last year is a big deal. And it's stronger than many years. And I'll tell you, when Teron Williams caught that interception for a touchdown, it was one of the rare times in a preseason that I cheered out loud, because I did. I instantly remembered that Atlanta playoff game where he made similar type of interception. I thought, he's older, he looks in great shape. We could use a Teron Williams to kind of anchor things down, and hopefully Jackson, Alexander are real deals. Kevin King, you know, he didn't play, but, you know, can he come on and be a good player? These teams now go four or five, a lot of times wide receivers or three wide receivers, and you've got running backs into the passing lanes. You need to have guys that can cover in this league right now. And I feel like we can go four or five deep with decent corners at what we're seeing so far.
You know, let me tell you a little bit about this Khalil Mack fellow. 6'3", 252, number 5 overall pick in 2014. He's on the last year of his rookie deal. All right.
Okay.
This is what he's looking for. He wants a new deal with $65 million guaranteed. All right. So he's making a base this year of $13.8 million on the last year of his rookie deal. He's 27. He's 27 years old.
Knew that. Yep. He's young.
Yep.
He's still young.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still young. That's what I mean. He's probably got four good seasons ahead of him. But it's the guaranteed number, $65 million, and if you prorate that over 5 years, that's $13 million a season. I don't know, you know, maybe that is workable, but it's a big number, and how is that going to hamstring them? On the other hand, after four or five seasons, if that's Aaron Rodgers' lifetime, it's not really going to matter much, because you're going to be starting over at that point anyway. I mean, at that point, you're talking probably a new coaching staff. You're really talking about tearing it down and becoming, I don't know, the Chicago Bears or Detroit Lions at that point.
Yeah. Well, could you guarantee it for a couple of years and then have it be contingent in the fourth and fifth year or something like that? Because, guaranteeing it for 5 years, if he turns out, blows his leg out, hurts his spine or something like that, that could be very, very difficult. But man, he's a good player. These guys aren't available very often, but you don't ever know. One thing I guess I shouldn't dismiss too quickly are the draft picks. If the Saints have a rough year, maybe we can get high up in the draft and have two pretty high picks ourselves. Well, I guess we get one that will be our pick, and the other will be just the Saints pick will be it's the our number one, and then the Saints number one. So we hope the Saints have a lousy year. Maybe that could be a decent pick for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that the Saints with Drew Brees are going to be pretty good, and so they're going to wind up probably picking in the 20s someplace. But yeah, you don't know that. I mean, they could. The NFL is, you know, volatile at the fringes. I mean, there are certain guarantees, but I don't think a lot of people saw the Packers season imploding the way it did last year. I mean, you assume when they got off to the 4-1 start that they would be one of those teams in contention and they'd be picking late in the draft, and it didn't turn out that way. And that could be the way it goes for the Saints with a 39-year-old quarterback. You know, he gets hurt, and then they're winding up, you know, with a, I don't know, with Taysom Hill as their quarterback, and they, you know, wind up with a number 7 pick in the draft or something. So yeah, it is a bit of a gamble to do that as well. But the numbers on the guy, the measurables on the guy, you know, his success to this point, very intriguing. Although you look across the sideline, Dave, at seeing Ryan Shazier on the sideline, did you happen to notice him during the game?
I did, yeah. I saw another video of him walking too. Yeah. He'll never play again.
No, and he does not look like an NFL football player any longer, and yeah, he probably is not. And you know, I mean, that could be Khalil Mack or actually any of the players. So it's conceivable you give up those two picks, you commit to $65 million in guaranteed money plus whatever other salary, and the guy goes out and he plays 3 games and he winds up like Shazier, and he never plays again, and you've got those guarantees out there. You're not getting those draft picks back. And that's the chance you take in a sport like the NFL, where guys, you know, their careers end instantly. So I guess I'd still do it at this point, but I really acknowledge that there's a lot of risk in doing so.
It's all risky, right? Everything is risky. Drafting is risky. Signing players, you know, not signing them to long-term deals and then losing them when they're actually playing well. It's all a risk. But this is a higher one because the guarantee money is a big factor. I understand that.
The future's uncertain and the end is always near. Yes, from that great philosopher Jim Morrison. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball here. And the thing that is on my mind, and I think a lot of Packer fans' minds, the wide receivers. I mean, it's a good problem in some ways. It's not that, boy, we have, you know, 7 or 8 really crappy guys, and which of them are we going to go with? Instead, you've got, I think, a pretty interesting group of guys who they have to whittle down. And so by my count, I've got Davante Adams, who I think has got a very good chance of making the team.
Dave. I do, too.
I think he has a very good chance. Randall Cobb, who I believe was a professional boxer at one time under the name of Tex Cobb, right?
Right.
He'll make the team. Then, you know, number 3 right now looks like Geronimo Allison. The guy who's listed at number 4 in the depth chart as a guy who I think is in danger of not making the team, that's Trevor Davis. It's funny how impressions, that game that we were at, that the listener sent us to that Lions game, and when he dropped that ball in his gut, my view on Trevor Davis was colored, and I can't get over that.
I can't either. Yeah, it was so bad. It was just like a high school kid dropping it, and just the disappointment. The whole stadium was so palpable. Yeah, it's I can't get it out either. You're right.
It was all alone. Yeah, and then you got the younger guys. You got Jake Kumerow. I got a story to tell you about that a little later on. Equanimeous St. Brown. And again, there is no St. Brown. I just want to be clear on that point.
Yeah.
Kyle Lewis, who I've seen play, and I'm not sure I could pick out of a lineup, and hope I never will have to. Jamon Moore. He's the number 4. Draft pick D'Angelo Yancey, a 7 from last year. Then Marquez Valdez-Scantling, as we call him, MVS on this podcast, and Adonis Jennings. So there are some promising guys here, but they're not going to keep all of them.
Can't.
And they're going to have to make some decisions here. I do think the top 3, I would say, if we're going in like the reporters do, the locks, a good bet, on the fence, and, you know, out, I would put in the first category Adams, Cobb, and Allison. Then the good bets. This is where it gets interesting to me. And there seems to be quite a, you know, a difference of opinion about, you know, who is in that good bet category. And after the second preseason game, I'm probably going to put Kumerow in that, you know, good bet to make the club. And I would also put MVS in that group.
I think so, too. Yeah.
You think both of those guys are a good bet at this point to make the club?
Yeah, I mean, Kumerow, I can't imagine them cutting him now. He's had two big games. He seems to get open, so it's not just fluky kind of things. I mean, and he runs after the catch. More sure-handed of the group, at least at this point. I think the upside for Moore and Marquez, Valdez, Scantling, and
all three of
St. Yeah, Brown.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. You get 3-1 with
right.
Marquez. you know, he's more sure-handed, which I think will be important for Rodgers to get the trust. I think it's the St. Brown, Scantling, and Moore. It's, you know, I really think it's going to be how they look in 2 or 3 years from now, and can they kind of take the Davante Adams path, which would be fantastic. So I think if you get, I think Kumerow is going to make the team. I think he could be your four, and I don't know, maybe three. Geronimo Allison catches everything. I appreciate that guy. He's long. But if Kumerow is fast and can get open and create other problems for defenses, you might see him on the field more than Allison. We'll have to see what that is. But you might not need your third and fourth or your fourth and fifth receivers as much, because certainly Jimmy Graham is going to play kind of on the edge, and his touchdown was lined up as a wide receiver. And, yeah, wasn't it great? that touchdown great?
It was a man among boys in that case. And
right.
I know he made a little move outside before he cut back inside, but all Rodgers had to do was throw that thing high enough. And, you know, he was 2 feet above the defender.
Yeah.
And having a guy that's 6'6", and has a vertical, I think he's got a 34-inch vertical on top of that. I mean, the guy's kind of freakish in his body build. He's going to be a weapon near the goal line, but I think he's going to be, you know, somebody that they can use in the middle of the field, too. Assuming he, you know, again, stays healthy, that's a real weapon right there.
Oh, my goodness. And, in fact, I maybe don't chance it between the 20s, because when you get into the red zone, if you don't double cover him, he's going to catch – he's either going to have to get a penalty – and grab him, or he's going to get the ball, especially if you just do it three times. Clear out, which is basically what they did. They had everyone run to the right, and he was kind of alone on the left with one guy on him. And he didn't juke the guy so he was 2 steps away from him. He was relatively on him, but you can't stop it. And Rodgers can put it on a dime. So this is going to be a very effective touchdown machine, I think, this year. It's going to create real problems. I just hope. It's true with a bunch of guys. I just hope he doesn't get hurt. I'd love to see a full year of Rodgers in his prime and having Jimmy Graham. Oh, would you say Jimmy Graham's in his prime? You talk about Mac. I mean, Graham would be one of those guys that you're aware of their names and now they're past.
He's on the down. Yeah, right. I mean, this is it. But, you know, the best years of a player are sometimes missed, because by the time they become popularly known, they've had these great years that have made them this player, but they're already kind of on the downside. Graham's 31. I think he's still a force, good player, but I think he's you know, past his peak, and they can get a couple of seasons out of him. That will be good. But at this point, you know, I think that's a couple seasons is good enough. They're making some decisions on players now with less future in mind, and that's one reason why maybe the change in general manager was good, because, you know, Ted was always playing, you know, for 4 years, 5 years, you know, down the line, which I think is a good strategy for where they were. But with the shelf life on Rodgers, you know, becoming smaller, shorter, I think, you know, having a guy like Graham's a good idea. And there's an argument, I think, to be made, Dave, that, you know, maybe they shouldn't have been quite so stingy on Jordy Nelson, and, you know, maybe, you know, had a 2-year, $15 million kind of deal that he probably would have signed. And all you need him for is a couple of years, because of his relationship with the quarterback. You know, that, you know, would have been probably good enough. He'll probably do well in the Packers system. So, yeah, veteran players right now are probably more important than they were 3 or 4 years ago, and I think Jimmy Graham is one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm going to draft him in my fantasy league. And once again, I'm going to have another Green Bay tight end. It's never worked out for me. This seems like more of a sure thing. I thought Bennett was going to be like, he's going to make it happen. That was a disaster. Jimmy Graham's got to break the mold of Packer tight ends and scoring touchdowns. But also, I thought Mercedes Lewis looked good, right? He
caught I thought he looked surprised for a guy. He's an older guy. I mean, he's in his middle 30s, and he looked really good. I mean, that was 23 yards downfield. He had to adjust. He looked, yeah, he looked credible out there. And, you know, if you're having as your number three receiver, Lance, or tight end, Lance Kendricks, that works. I mean, those three guys as your tight ends, all of them veterans, I think that's a pretty good group.
Now, this Robert Tonyan, they threw him a jump ball, which he caught, and he had a couple other catches. Do you think it's possible that they keep a guy that's got a brighter future than, say, Kendricks? Now he would be probably on the downside of his career. I think that's pretty safe.
He definitely is. Yeah.
But he would be a safe player, and he can block. Maybe I don't remember how big Tonyan was, but Tonyan was very good out in the pass play. Do you think it's possible that you could take two veterans, Graham, and I'm sure they're going to keep Lewis, but then keep a Tonyan?
This isn't the figure skater Tonyan Hardy.
No.
This is a different. Okay.
Correct.
I think this is a guy, kidding aside, I think this is a guy who is destined for the practice squad, and it's a good practice squad player. I have a sense they're going to go with the veterans, and this is going to be your next man up. I don't think they're going to keep four, but I think there's some potential there, and they do seem to, you know, find intriguing guys at tight end. Not sure why that is. It's one of the things that they do a pretty good job of. So I am not expecting him to make the team, but I do expect him. Well, I guess McCarthy views it as a 63-man roster because of the 10 people on the practice squad. I think he's a practice squad guy.
Yeah, I suppose. And then you should stop playing him so that he clears and gets on the practice squad. Because I thought he looked pretty good. I thought he seemed. I can't picture him now, but I thought he was not nearly as big as Graham or Lewis. Or Kendricks, for that matter. So I thought he was a lighter. So I don't know if he's can block at all. I like it when you have a tight end that can do both, and then you don't really know what's coming. Although, I think they're going to line up Jimmy Graham like wide receiver a lot of times, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to have him, even when he's playing in line, he's going to be kind of in that semi-standing position, you know, kind of that hunched over as opposed to a three-point stance kind of thing. I do think you'll see him a fair amount split out. Maybe even kind of almost slot type thing for Graham. It raises the question, if he's going to be positioned like that, do you have to carry an extra tight end, A, and B, you know, how many wide receivers do you have to carry? And,
right.
You know, I mean, if you have Adams, Cobb, Allison, I think we agree that Kumerow looks like he's, at this point, made the team. That leaves the question of, St. Brown, who is, of course, there's not a St. Brown, Moore, Yancey, and MVS. MVS, I think, is going to make the club because the guy runs 4.37, I guess, was his 40 time. He's about the only guy they have that really has serious speed. So I think he makes it probably as your five. Okay, now you have a bunch of guys competing for that sixth spot. ESB looks like he is a guy, you know, who can play. He can catch the ball. The disappointing guy is Moore. I mean, he looks the part. And I was watching the game with my son, and I said, yeah, he looks like one of those, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane, yeah, kind of guys. But a fourth round pick, I don't see him, you know, cutting a fourth round pick.
I agree.
Yeah. So even though I think St. Brown's a better player, I don't see them, you know, choosing, St. Brown over Moore just because of the draft position. Maybe they carry seven. Maybe they carry both of those guys and Kumerow, but that means D'Angelo Yancey, you know, seven last year, is probably not going to make the team.
Yeah. The other thing to think of is if they're 6-7, don't they have to play special teams? And someone's going to have to return kicks and punts. And
yep, that's right.
You know, Trevor Davis was pretty good at punts, right? Did he do kickoffs as well, or did he just?
Yeah, I think he did both. And I understand that he also was a gunner on the punt team. And when they were doubling Janis last year, I guess Davis might have led the team in special teams tackles. So even though he's a smaller guy, I guess he was able to beat that single blocker and do a good job downfield on punts. So, yeah, and he's an experienced special teams player. I don't think he's quite the special teams ace that Janis became, but he has value there.
Yeah, I wonder if that tilts it a little bit toward in his favor. I think you're right. I think no matter how they play, I think Moore makes the team because he's a fourth-round pick. So then it comes down to if MVS is playing the best among them, maybe he sticks. And then so can St. Brown make it to the practice squad? You know, I think there are a lot of receivers around that. I mean, look at Kumerow came out of nowhere, and he's like our number four now. I mean, how many receivers are out there? Can St. Brown make the practice squad? Can but I think they keep Moore. I think they keep Scantling and Kumerow. So that's three. And I guess a big part will be who can return kickoffs, because you got to have someone to do that.
Well, I think six is definitely the number that they have to. You know, I don't think they'll do seven, but I think six for sure. And at this point, it's Adams, in my opinion anyway, Adams, Cobb, Allison, Kumerow, Scantling, and then probably Moore because he's the fourth-round pick, although I think St. Brown's a better player. I don't think St. Brown will get to the practice squad, though. I think he's shown enough where somebody's gonna grab him. And D'Angelo Yancey, too, probably will get cut, and somebody will pick him up as well. It's a nice problem to have. Now, this, of course, is assuming there aren't any more injuries along the way. I mean, that could change the whole picture immediately. I mean, Geronimo Allison, you know, blows out his hamstring and he's going to, you know, he's going to miss a month or something. One of those other guys is going to make it. So it's an interesting situation. And I think is in terms of watching something, because, you know, we have to watch these preseason games, that I think is something to watch because it's almost like tracking stock. I mean, people are up and people are down, and what we say next week about them, I think, could be dramatically different.
Well, I think the passing game will be better, not just obviously with Rodgers back, but even with these receivers. I think it could be better than the previous years where Rodgers was healthy and we had Nelson and Cobb and Devontae not getting open. I mean, these guys, we definitely have more speed on this team, and Jimmy Graham brings a whole new dimension for the tight ends. Imagine, though, Chris, if Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams brings a running game that is really difficult to stop as well. Particularly, I think most people are more excited for Aaron Jones based on a couple games that he gave us. Right. If he is a real stud, this offense could be back to kind of a 2011 type of a season where you really don't know how to stop us. We've got lots of options. And it seems that Joe Philbin is bringing in some of the short passing game a little bit. I saw a couple times just a dump off to running backs, get the first down, line it up, and start over again. I love that. Jamal Williams had a catch. Ty Montgomery had a couple catches. And these were early. I think a couple of them were from Rodgers. So I think that's a great, great sign. What do you think about the running game?
You know, I think the observation you made, the last point there, is something that has gone under the radar a bit. It looked to me, those weren't just like safety valve dump offs because nothing was available downfield. Those, I think, were planned. Those short passes to the running backs, and obviously Ty Montgomery can catch and run, right? I mean, he was a receiver and he was a running back, and getting him, you know, open on those short passes where he gets the ball in space and can run with it, I would not be surprised to see that being a thing that they do. I think their other running backs can also catch and run, and so while, you know, running from scrimmage is something that, you know, they can and will do. They haven't done it very well in the preseason. I think they've got the potential with the guys they have to be really effective at doing that. But I think the offense is going to feature planned short passes to the running backs because I think that's part of their skill set. These are guys that can catch and these are guys that can run. And so they're going to take advantage of that, I think, more so than they have in the past. It's, you know, this might be a situation where you look at the opponent that's coming up, and there's so many ways that I think the Packer offense with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and that's the caveat with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, there are so many ways this offense can win. I mean, they can, you know, feature the tight ends. They could play the perimeter game with wide receivers. If you're playing a team that's got good defensive backs, okay, well, what we're going to do instead is we're going to throw short passes to our running backs, or we're going to run the ball this week. I'm not sure you're going to see a Packers offense that does the same kinds of things every week. I think they're a lot more flexible than they have been, because there's a lot of ways I think this offense can win. The one way that they will not win is without Aaron Rodgers. But also, I'm concerned about the tackles, Dave. Their starting tackles are terrific, but they've both been injured, and Bulaga's always injured, it seems like. And behind those guys, they don't have much. And that could really, you know, put a crimp in the season quickly if, you know, Bulaga or Bakhtiari cannot be Bulaga and Bakhtiari.
Yeah, it's not just being able to execute your play on third down, but it could take Aaron Rodgers out with another injury.
Exactly.
These guys get a clean hit on him. So, yeah, that is a problem. You know, when you try to be excellent at some positions, there's always going to be an area of weakness. You just can't cover everything. And maybe they would have if they would have drafted better. Spriggs and Murphy and some of these guys are Bell doesn't seem to be cutting it at tackle. So yeah. They swung and missed on a couple of these offensive linemen. They kind of have for the last few years. They've not. And this Cole Madison, you know, where is he? He's not here.
They were very vague about that. I don't know if you saw the article this week, but the guy's agent came to town and, you know, he talked to the media, and I think the GM did as well. I think Gunnikus did as well. And they were very, well, yeah, you know, he still wants to play and he still might play this year, but probably going to be next year. And it's a personal issue. I don't know if is he in treatment? Does he have some kind of illness?
Like depression or something like that?
Yeah, Yeah, it's really vague. This is where the realities of being a human being and not just an object of our entertainment comes into play, because, you know, you worry about it. This is like, what, a 22, 23-year-old young person, and you hate to think that beyond not being able to, you know, entertain us on Sunday afternoons, that this is somebody who's facing a situation serious enough that, you know, they're putting their life on hold. And that's just sad and unfortunate all the way around. So I hope it's not anything that is, you know, going to impede the guy's life. On the other hand, it would be a great story if he could overcome whatever it is and come back and, you know, play in the NFL. And it would be one of those great stories that kind of, you know, brings a tear to the eye, but right now I don't think the Packers can count on him being a player. I think the main thing for him, though, is to, you know, get whatever is wrong in his life right and be able to go on from there.
Yeah, you know, I think you make a good point that a lot of times from our perspective we see this as like a movie. We want our stars to show up and do their thing. We don't. It's never, you know, Darth Vader's not going to be in the Star Wars because his sister is ill. He's not going to be in the latest one. But you're right. And, you know, actually, if I can jump to pop culture, I started watching Hard Knocks for the very first time. Have you ever watched this show?
Yeah, a couple of years ago when they did Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
I want to say that was 2 or 3 years ago.
I don't know why I'm late to the party on this. It's right in the middle of what I love, which is football and documentaries. And I'm watching, I thought, this is fantastic. They're doing the Cleveland Browns, and it's such an interesting story because they're 0-16. They started off by showing you a big, huge LeBron James poster being ripped off a building. So they're like, here is a city that's lost its favorite son. They're 0-16, and here, how do you go about trying to build a winning culture just as much as the football part? But what was interesting is the coach, Hugh Jackson, apparently lost his mother and his brother within 2 weeks of each other.
I heard about that, yeah.
So he's trying to coach and get this winning feeling with all the players while he's dealing with this personal tragedy. And they, you know, the cameras are right up close, and he's, you know, he's in tears before practice, and then boom, he's on the practice field yelling and screaming. And one, I highly recommend you try and find a way to watch this. I only watched the first episode, but I think it's going to be a really interesting viewing. But yeah, the Cole Madisons and whatever else. I mean, J.K. Scott had a really poor, which I'm jumping around, but J.K. Scott had a poor, I mean, he's a human being. Was he nervous? Was he, you know, did something happen that we aren't aware of? We just sort of just blast these guys. But there's real life going on. And, you know, sometimes I wish we knew so we could lay off a little bit, but it probably has a bigger effect on things than we realize.
Well, you know, you mentioned Cleveland, the Browns. Of course, Cleveland's, you know, blessed to have the Indians, who are a terrific, you know, baseball team. One of their players, a guy they just acquired, you know, he's going to miss the rest of the season. Well, what is it, hamstring? Did he, you know, blow out his shoulder? No, he has a bacterial infection that almost killed him.
Oh.
You know, so His name is Leonis Martin, I believe. And, you know, that's one of those those real deals. Every time they showed Shazier on the sideline, that just really brought home the fact that inside of the helmet, inside of the uniform, these are real people. And regardless of, you know, the sport, you know, these are guys that have reality pushing down on them. I don't know, maybe that's why Elizabeth Warren likes to watch Ballers. You know, she loves the human drama of The Rock. You know, maybe that's it. I don't know. Are we going to do pop culture? Should I save mine for later, or what's the...
Yeah, let's save it to the end. Throw that in because it's well worth watching. And, man, would I love to be able to see the Packers through a Hard Knocks lens of, you know, what are these guys like? How are they dealing with the preseason and what they do for fun? All that is great. So, plus, I think with reality TV showing you the inside scoop, it almost makes me, if I keep watching, watch the Cleveland Browns this year, which is weird because I'll actually know some of these characters that are on TV. So, anyway, I throw that in there. I've got more pop culture later, so let's come back to that.
Yeah, I felt that way about the Bengals when I watched them. I kind of knew who those guys were, and it was a lot more interesting because, yeah, you had just a different feeling and perspective. And I think the defensive coordinator that year, it might have been the last year that the Vikings head coach, who's we did not plan this out, the guy who's coaching the Vikings now was the defensive coordinator, I think, at that time the Bengals. Yeah. And, you know, so when he got the job in Minnesota, I felt like I knew him from having watched Hard Knocks. But now I've replaced Hard Knocks with Ballers, and I'm excited because the season's back, and Elizabeth Warren and I are watching together. So
very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It's me and my wife and Elizabeth, you know, on Sunday evenings watching Ballers together. So. Okay, there's I think we've covered a lot of the stuff. You mentioned Just Kidding Scott.
Yes.
And I hope that isn't the case where his practice performances are just kidding because he doesn't punt that well in games. But he, you know, he did not have a great game. He did, you know, kick one in the end zone. He did have one inside the 20. It's clear he gets a lot of hang time. So there were a couple of kicks that were not returned just because the guy, you know, punts the damn thing so high. I'm not sure if he did a lot of pooch punting in college or not. I didn't follow Alabama football, but he did not seem to have a very deft touch when it came to the shorter kicks. But when it comes to elevating, you know, and getting a lot of hang time, I think this guy is good, and he's a rookie. So I think there may be some adjustment to the league. What really concerns me, though, Dave, and he seems to be a fine holder, too. So that's important. But what concerns me is, you know, guys that can kick the ball really high and really far in August and September, when it's November and December and the ball is hard and the atmospheric conditions are different, that's when you really find out if you have a puncher that works for the Packers. We know as a fact that SIS grass, SIS grass, is a perfect surface to play on. We know that now for sure. That won't be Scott's problem. The problem will be, you know, in early December when we're at Lambeau Field, will he be able to, you know, kick it high and far? And that's why I think they might have made a mistake a long time ago with when they got rid of Ryan as their punter, because that was a guy that, you know, from Canada, and he seemed to handle the conditions real well. I know Scott grew up in Colorado, but he played his college ball, and they're doing their evaluations based on, you know, punting in really good conditions in the South. So we'll see. I'm kind of withholding my judgment on Just Kidding until we get to that part of the season.
But he's from Wisconsin, isn't he? Did he live in Wisconsin? Or
His father was a pole vaulter at UW. Okay. I guess actually quite a good one. And so he got a job and they lived in Colorado, but they came back in the summers because they, you know, they had property and his dad was from Wisconsin. So he grew up as a Packers fan. He spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, but the growing up stuff that he did was in Colorado. And then of course his college playing was in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to worry about him yet because it's punting. Either I kind of feel like you could either do it or you can't. And it's probably a lot of head games that are going on that makes the difference between good or bad punts. I mean, he clearly can do it in practice. I mean, when he kicks the ball, I think, like, holy cow, that looked like a great punt. And then it's 30-some yards. I thought, wow, well, it looked good to me. Like his leg whips through really fast, and the ball leaves the screen really quick. And you're right, the hang time is there. And it's not like, you know, you can't, he can't do it, because when they scheme against him, it's, he can't deal with the scheme. Well, it's, if you either can punt or you can't. And I think I'm going to chalk it up to nerves for him. It's a big deal. He's a young guy. That given time and given the season along the way, I think he's going to do much better. Probably on the road. You know, on the road, he may do much better. He won't have so that Lambeau Field connection. So maybe we'll see him, the real him, in the next couple games.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've got a West Coast game, Oakland coming up, and that's a different challenge as well for the entire team. I mean, the first two games, we're making evaluations. We're talking about the Packers, them playing, you know, in the right uniforms at home. But this next 2 weeks, they're going to be away, and it'll be interesting to see how the younger players in particular adjust and adapt to that. So, you know, that is it's a different game when you have to play away. And in Oakland, too, that has a history of being an interesting place to play. So, yeah. So we'll find out about that going forward. There's some email this week. Maybe we should cover some of that, because you saw the one from Chief Tom, correct?
I sure did. Oh, that was a powerful email. Yeah, I don't know how you want to cover that. But before we do that real quick, yeah. We didn't talk about the quarterbacks at all.
Right. We spent a lot of time on it last week, but we might as well touch on it again, because it's a little bit like the receivers, I suppose, right? Stock up, stock down, yeah. Kind of deal. So, let's do that before we get into the social media stuff. I don't know that I've changed my opinion at all on anybody. I still think Hundley is your number two quarterback, just because he knows the system. I think they'll keep him as the backup. They'll let him walk when the season's done. Kizer, you know, he had a terrific passer rating, 142 passer rating, but I think it's helped a lot in the fact that the 82-yard, you know, catch and run, that, I think, made an enormous difference in his quarterback rating. But even outside of that, you know, the guy was okay. Without that particular play, he was 6 out of 11. You know, he would have had 60 yards or so. Yeah, you know, I think he's okay, but he's a younger quarterback, and he's new in the system. I still think he's your number three. Boyle is this year's Taysom Hill. I think the guy can play. I love the way he throws the ball. I mean,
yeah. looks the part, right?
Oh, man, he really does. But, you know, he hasn't had quite, you know, the resume. He's had a lot of, you know, upheaval and change in his background. He transferred schools. You know, they changed coordinators. He never really, you know, kind of got a rhythm going. But I think he will be a guy that if they cut him, he's going to wind up someplace else. And I think that's going to be his fate. I think they're going to keep Hundley and Kizer, and they'll try to get Boyle to practice squad. He's not going to make it. I would be very comfortable, though, if he did make the practice squad, and after Hundley walks and they move, you know, Kizer up to second string, I'd be fine with Boyle as a third string guy. I think he's got a lot of developmental potential. Not that I think he can be a starter in the league, but I, you know, could be comfortable with him if he had to come in for a couple of games and play. I think he's got that level of talent. But as always, Dave, none of these guys is number 12, and he really is a presence. He's still operating at his peak, I think. So he is, in fact, the straw that stirs the drink, and that's not going to change based on what I've seen of the quarterbacks in preseason.
He's got to stop running around in preseason.
That was scary.
And in regular season, I'd like them to run an offense where he's running less. I mean, the first play he's running around, I think the very first throw he had, he gets hit. And I thought it was just an ankle tackle. He went down. But someone said it was a little bit like the hit he took in Minnesota. I thought, was it that bad? But he got up and was fine. And we do want him to be able to take hits. He's going to take them. But I don't. Man, can't they scheme in some way so that he's not running on every play? Part of it's got to be him, where he's extending plays just because he wants to. But, man, I wish they could get control of that. I do not want to see him get hurt. That was one observation. The other, nothing has changed my mind that I think, and I think the third and fourth preseason games are going to be the key here for Hundley. But if Kizer plays the way he does, if Boyle does better, I think there's still a very good chance that Hundley gets cut. He just does not look like the part to me, even if he has decent stats. I mean, he took two sacks. There's maybe one that wasn't really his fault. There's one sack. I don't know which one it was on. The guy came pretty quick off the edge. But, you know, he just have really good awareness. And I think Kaiser just, he throws a better ball to me. I think he's quicker. I don't know. I'm more of a fan of Kaiser. And I think Boyle is real interesting, too. Even if you miss on them, I just don't think you're giving up a lot with Hundley. I don't see that he's improved a whole lot.
Well, to me, it comes down to a point of comfort, I guess. Let's just assume that Aaron Rodgers does get injured, but it's not serious. It's a hamstring that's going to be a 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Or maybe, you know, I hate to see it happen. Maybe he gets his bell rung and it's a concussion and he's got to go in the protocol. He's been there before and it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. Who do you feel more comfortable with, you know, as your quarterback for those 2 or 3 weeks, Hundley or Kaiser? And at this point, it's Hundley. Now, next year,
Not for me.
I'm going to feel different next year, but I don't think Kaiser's young. I don't think he knows the system. I don't think he gives them a better chance right now of winning right now than Hundley does, and you seem to be the opposite.
I get your point that Kaiser's got a bigger learning curve to get to that point. We have got 2 more weeks before the season starts. Let's say it's even longer than that before an injury. I just feel like Hundley, we've seen where he is. I don't think he's a whole lot better. And I think Kaiser could improve. So, yeah, I guess I don't. Neither of them give me a lot of comfort. So it's not like I think Kaiser can do the job. I don't know if either of them can do the job for 2 or 3 games. It's just kind of hold on to your hats for sure. I just think Hundley is not as good as Kaiser right now.
Well, to me, Kaiser, putting him into a game this season, it would be like we would do the whole Brett Hundley thing again. You know, it would be the same sort of stuff that we saw, the same learning curve, the tentativeness, all that kind of stuff. That's why I think we suffered through, 9 games of Hundley last season. And this year we may get the benefits, if he has to play, of that, you know, that he would be better than he was and they have a better chance of winning. I don't think that would be true a year from now, but we're talking about right now. And so for me, that's the way you play this thing out, and you let him walk at the end of the year and you have your succession. What it may cost you, though, is you may lose Boyle. On the other hand, they lost Taysom Hill last year, and they came up with a new version of Taysom Hill. You know, remember, 2 years ago was Joe Callahan. He was the flavor of the month, and they were able to get him back the following year, even after people signed him. So this may be the same deal with Boyle. You might lose him when you try to get in the practice squad, but I don't want to say there are a dime a dozen, those guys, but you can find them, and the Packers have a history of finding those promising guys who are going to be the next third-string quarterback. So I guess the last 2 games might change my opinion, but at this point, I'm still Hundley over Kaiser.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, it really isn't. It's a clear winner, but you're probably right. There's always another Boyle. Always. And did you? What we got?
You want to lance it? You want to lance that Boyle?
Yeah.
There's always another one. You know.
You never can't get rid of Boyles. Yeah. And we got a good email this week that called Kaiser. His nickname should be Kaiser So-So.
Yeah.
That's Kaiser So-So. Someone said that's what they call him in Cleveland, which is pretty good. But I think I'm interested to see how he plays. This will be a good game. You think Rodgers plays this next game in Oakland?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
If he does play, it will be, instead of one series, it'll be 2 series, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of hope it's no series. And I've seen what I need to see on the offense. I think you could leave defensive guys in and make them improve, but I think we just hold down until we get ready for the season. Keep Graham out, keep Rodgers out, Davante Adams out. Just let these other guys play.
Well, you know, it's the practice games are tough for me. I don't know if they are for you. It's, you know, I don't really know exactly what I'm seeing when I see these games, and maybe that's why I overreacted to the defensive struggles. I mean, maybe those weren't struggles at all. Maybe they got exactly what they needed to get out of that game, and things are, you know, a lot a lot better than they might seem. Or on the other hand, it could be the other way around. I mean, they could be freaking alarmed right now, you know, at 12:65 about what they're seeing. I just want them to get through these preseason games without any of the guys you're counting on doing any damage to themselves. That's not to say that I hope that guys that they're not counting on get hurt, and that's not the case at all. But I just think that there's too great of a chance of ruining your season in August. And that's why caution with Rodgers, I think, makes a lot of sense. Maybe you throw him in the fourth game for a couple of, you know, series just to make sure that he doesn't go too far without playing. He is coming off, you know, of an injury where he didn't play a lot, but he sure didn't look rusty when I saw him. I mean, he was in command of the field the last game, and I'm pretty comfortable that even if they didn't play him another snap the last two games, that he'd probably be just fine when they started this season.
Yeah, I agree.
So we alluded to a really touching and moving email that we received from a guy we've talked about in the past on this podcast, Senior Chief Petty Officer Tom. I think he's a career guy in the Navy, been all around the world, all kinds of different situations, circumstances, war zones, that kind of thing. But it turned out that he had a battle of his own at home with an illness, a family member, a really significant illness, as a matter of fact. And he went on in some detail to describe the situation that his wife was facing. And I got to tell you, I was really concerned reading it. And as he went on to talk about it, he even got a little choked up along the way. But the reason I want to mention this here is because Tom's email is not the only one of this kind that we have received. Tom mentioned that while he was going through this really difficult, trying time with his wife, one of the things that he fell back on, you know, things that made him feel good, and one of them was listening to Packers Therapy, you know, which is both surprising and gratifying. That, you know, the podcast was really useful to him in a personal sort of way. And I think, Dave, you and I are both guys that realize there's a human element. We talked about it before in sports. But even to things like this, that, you know, people that are listening right now are real-life, three-dimensional human beings with problems and struggles, and we're all finite in this thing as well. And I'll tell the listeners what I wrote back to Tom. And maybe you feel the same way, and maybe you'd like to add your own thoughts on this, Dave. But, you know, during the course of my life, which is stretching out longer than I ever expected it to be, I've done a number of things. I happen to have a job that, involves philanthropy and people giving money and things like that. And along the way, I've volunteered and I've been active in, youth sports. I coached a lot of teams and kids over the years. But in an odd way, this podcast that we've been doing now, this is our 14th season, in a weird way, this might be the most significant thing for other people that I've ever done. And it never started out that way. I mean, we started this out as a vanity project, you know, right? Something that we wanted to do to argue with each other about the Packers and maybe somebody else would be interested in it. It never started out as some kind of social work. You know, this wasn't our intent here. But it's worked out like that over the year. We've had, from time to time, we will get these powerful emails like the one from Tom about people, sometimes soldiers, you know, who, you know, it wasn't so much the Packers news that they wanted, but the sound of, you know, our Midwestern accents and, you know, our interest in something that they cared about. This was their touch of home. And other people that, you know, are driving across country alone for one reason or another, and, you know, they brought the entire season of Packers Therapy along with them to listen to. Those kinds of stories of people being a part of their lives and helping them out with that, I wish I could say that yes, this was our missionary work in life. it wasn't that at all, but it feels so good to know that we've been able to help people like Tom and others both enjoy the Packers, but also, you know, give them an hour and a half, whatever, a week, where they can have some measure of escape and relief from whatever stresses and strains that they're facing in their life. So, Tom, thank you for your candor and your openness in writing to us. I know I speak for Dave when I say we are really grateful and gratified that the goofiness that we do on Packers Therapy is of value to you. And we're glad also that there are others like you out there that appreciate this more than just, you know, for all the breaking down the wide receiver situation. So Godspeed to you, Tom.
Yeah, I think you said it beautifully. I don't know if I would have anything to add. The great thing for me is that when people ask me to support, you know, charities or different things, I say, sorry, I do a podcast. I'm doing enough.
Hey, how much can one person be expected to give to his fellow person, right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you are a great American. That's all I can say, yeah.
That's right.
We've also received a number, actually quite a number, of emails from another Tom in Germany, a guy who's an American who's been living overseas for a long time, and he's been a listener to us for a long time, and he wrote a very nice welcome back message. And there's a lot of expats out there, you know, who this is their touch of home, and this is their team, and hearing these voices. So thank you, Tom, in Germany. I know that you're listening. You have for a long time. On social media as well, man, you know, Mike Makowski, you know, we have a guy named Sensible Sam, you know, was in touch, and Jeremy, Camp Freddy, Robert Cook.
Are you making these up now?
No, I mean, I'm just like, and our old buddy, you know, our Norwegian mailman, Harold, you know, was in touch this week. I sent him an article that I saw in The Ringer about his favorite soccer team from the Premier League. He's a supporter of Liverpool, and so I sent him something on that. Scott was in touch with us. The Sweep. Yuck Nasty was there. Jack Broad, our old friend. Steven Stinn. Woody Larson. These are all these people. It's amazing how many people are happy that we're back. I'm not this happy that we're back.
So we were just talking about that last week.
Exactly.
How we felt about it. And yeah. With the emails, every time I read an email or something, I think, yes, of course, we're going to do this. It's just that hour before we have to get online of like, oh, there's other things that are happening, and this is going to take a two-hour chunk of time. And there's that moment of hesitation. Plus, it's preseason, too. When the games happen, sometimes I got to get it out. So this is a great way for me to, like, voice it into the universe, my frustration or my happiness. But so preseason a little bit different. But, yeah, it certainly is different. And, you know, I would like to get to meet even just, you know, a handful of people that you've mentioned. I mean, it's been such a delight to get to know Dr. Klaus. That's can you imagine that times 10 or 20 of people that have been listening? It'd be really fun to connect with these people since we seem to have such a big thing in common. Hopefully that will happen over time, but it's been a really, really cool experience. I'm glad we're back, if not as much as maybe other people. It's confusing, right? It does sometimes startle me that people even want us to be back. It's good, right?
well, even, you know, even CD and Jersey Al were happy to have us back, and I, you know, I mean, they've been really good about you know, hosting us on Packers Stock. That is what it is, Packers Stock, isn't it? Okay,
yeah. It is. Yeah,
yeah. They were very gracious and kind with comments about, of course, we want you back, and so that's just great to hear. And then, you know, some of these names that pop up in the Twitter feed, you know, Stephen Kilby, you know, our old buddy and his dad Guy, you know, being in touch. Zach Rapport, Curtis Polishinski. Now, that can't be a real name, but, you know, Rob Garner. I mean, there's just a lot of people. Our old buddy Andrew Hetzel, you know, being in touch with us. You know, Luke Gardner also. Somebody called Cal Patriot, who has an American flag as a part of their emoji. You know, Greg Smith. I mean, I'm just looking down again and again, more and more, you know, people. Craig Grossman. It's just it's fantastic to have so many people that like this, and a lot of those people too are folks that go to the PayPal site and they throw us a few bucks and allows us to go to games and stuff like that. And I mean, it's all very gratifying. We want you to know that we see the tweets, we read the emails, we respond to those that we can. And thank you so much for welcoming us back. We are glad that you are glad that we're back and that no one has, you know, taken the time to write to say, I wish you guys would go away. That makes this all worthwhile. So thank you.
We are going to a football game on December 3rd against the Arizona Cardinals. So if any of these 10,000 or so listeners are going to be at that game, they should let us know early. Not only are Chris and I going together, but Dr. Klaus is flying in from Norway, and we are going to go see the game together. So this is fantastic.
He has promised to examine our prostates.
No.
And also make sure we don't have hernias. So that's why he's coming over. He's bringing over some of those Norwegian rubber gloves, those special ones from their social democracy over there.
So it'll be free. Yeah.
It'll be free at the Airbnb that you guys are renting. So, fantastic. We have that to look forward to. Let's take a moment here and say yes. Male health, very important. So I know you guys are going to watch the Packers. I'll be there to watch and see how Sisgrass looks close up.
I agree. Wait, where are we right now? So the game is on the 3rd.
Yeah.
Contact us. What's our email address? Is Packers Therapy? I always forget. It's gmail.com, right? That's what – it's been so long.
I think it's PackersTherapy@gmail.com.
Yeah. I have Yahoo.com in my head, but it
okay,
is.
Okay. Well, wait a second. Let me take a – you keep talking, and I'll look it up, okay?
trying to stall for time. No, I'm pretty sure it's – I think maybe I've created a separate email address that's a Yahoo.com. But it is.
Oh, it is yahoo.com.
No, I think it says,
I just looked it up. PackersTherapy@yahoo.com.
But remember we said gmail.com? Wait.
No, that was for, Mike. Is his, Maclo.
Okay. I need to verify that, but you think it's yahoo.com. Now I'm looking at my phone.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's yahoo.com.
It's yahoo.com. Why would we go to Yahoo? I mean, come on. I don't know. That's right. It's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. And somehow we still get email. I don't know how that happens. Well, please be in touch with us. I know for sure if you go to @PackersTherapy on Twitter, then you get us for sure. No questions there. But PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, that's where we are. In fact, Dave, if you recall, when people want to give us money, and they certainly can through PayPal, that's our identifier over at PayPal as well, PackersTherapy@yahoo.com.
I just sent myself an email gmail.com. Let's see if it comes through. I feel like there's a Gmail in there as well. I'm very confused right now. Very confused.
Well, obviously. So what that means is we've probably gone on long enough, which means we should go to the pop culture segment of our program. You have a couple of things, and I have one thing. So why don't you lead off, Dave?
I just have one. I talked about Hard Knocks. The other, just – I got to recommend this show because it's so much fun, is Big Brother on CBS. It's a great thing to do over the summer. It's on 3 times a week as they go through.
Oh, my gosh.
But if you're a football fan that likes the strategy piece of things, then the strategy within Big Brother is really, really fun. It's like a sport almost. I mean, they're voting themselves down to a single winner, and the backstabbing, the strategizing, the alliances, and things like that. And this season is particularly very fun. You know, if you just want to have something kind of mindless to watch that, you know, it's not peak TV kind of thing, is you could buy a season from Apple or Amazon probably for like $20, and you get a ton of shows. And man, it is one of the best things I watch. I really look forward to it. I watch it with my kids because it's super easy to do that. This season is season 20. It's probably one of the best seasons that I've seen. And I think we went back as I stopped watching after season like one way, way back. I guess about 20 years ago. And I think I picked it up in 16, 17. Well, 20 is one of the better ones if you ever wanted to give it a try. That is my recommendation for the week.
You know, I don't know why anybody would want to watch that with the backstabbing alliances. We all have jobs, or most of us do. I mean, aren't we living that pretty much day to day at work now?
Well, it's like, well, but you can see other people's struggles. It does help. It helps.
All right. Okay, so it's like Packers therapy.
It is. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah. My recommendation, something I watched over the summer, which, again, is I would put it on the light side of the spectrum, although it's getting a lot of critical praise as well. It's a show called Killing Eve. Did you watch
I've Killing heard of Eve? It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killing Eve is offbeat, quirky, and therefore highly recommended, right in my sweet spot. I cannot say enough about this show. It is a lot of fun, and it's about a woman, a young woman, an attractive young woman who is also I would think it's safe to say she's a psychopath, and she's also a hit person. She's a contract killer, and she's working for the Russians. And the story is about the woman who is a member of British intelligence who is tracking her. Because of the crime spree she's committed across Europe. So it's got all of these Lynchian absurdities that go on. If people are
David Lynchian, you mean?
Yes, okay. Yes, right. But it also has the European landscapes, different capital cities throughout Europe where it takes place. The main star is Sandra Oh, mm-hmm. who I think some people might know her for her work and other things. She's terrific. But the real star, the woman who plays Villanelle is her name. She is truly wonderful, and I can't recommend this show enough. It's on BBC America. And I would say check it out. I think just only 10 episodes, maybe. Oh no, I'm sorry, eight episodes. Sorry about that. So it's an easy watch, 1 hour each. And I would say go and check that out. I think it probably is available on a streaming service. I seem to remember that one of the for a while you had to watch it on BBC America. I don't think they anticipated it was going to be a big success the way it has been. But because it's worked out so well, somebody. Picked it up on one of the streamers. So check that out, called Killing Eve. And that's your assignment for the week. Only eight episodes. I think you'll be able to knock through it. Who was it, Dave, that wrote to us this past week? Maybe it was Tom, who said, it was our architect, Brad.
Yeah, yeah, it said, yeah. How do you have enough time to watch so much TV?
Yeah. And Brad, you'll be old someday, too. And you know your family will be grown up, and you'll also have extreme anxiety and not be able to sleep at night. So with all that good stuff coming your way, it won't be long until you are able to enjoy the joys of peak TV the way Dave and I have. That was Brad. Yep. Yes, Brad. He's our staff architect, and he was candid. He said, "Yeah, he tries everything that we recommend, and most of it he doesn't like."
Yeah,
He did say he liked Halt and Catch Fire, and he said it resonated with him. If you remember his email, he started watching it, and then he binge watched all four seasons, and he said he was about the age of the main character, Cameron, when he was a part of a young architectural firm. Then he broke out with a friend of his to have their own firm, and that relationship was exposed for having its cracks, the way the relationships were exposed in Halt and Catch Fire, of having those cracks. And he said it resonated with him personally, had a big impact on him personally, because he saw a lot of his own career track playing out in Halt and Catch Fire. So we've recommended a lot of things. I appreciate that, Brad has tried them, and probably a lot of other people have as well. So we're glad if one of them that we recommend is something that actually, is fun and you wind up liking it. That's why we do the pop culture segment.
That's right, because Netflix and Amazon need our help. They are struggling.
Yeah. They're struggling. It's terrible. I feel bad you know, for those Hulu. I put Hulu in there too. These people, I don't know where their next meal's coming from.
No, that's right. So between the podcast to the listeners and then supporting these charitable organizations of Amazon and Netflix, we are doing amazing humanitarian work. No?
No. You know, well, no, I was reflecting on that for a moment because...
How absurd it was?
Well, no. To me, it just tells me that our work, for this week anyway, is now done.
Let's reflect on that, yeah.
Yeah, and this is Saturday morning, and so it's the day before, you know, the Christian Sabbath, and it kind of gets us in the right frame of mind. Packers will actually get an extra day this week. Instead of playing on Thursday, they'll play on Friday. They'll play on the West Coast. But I think we'll probably do another podcast probably on Saturday, huh, Dave?
We will, and I'll be able to watch the game. I forgot to tell you, I mentioned this early, that in St. Louis, the Fox affiliate has now chosen the Green Bay Packers as their official home team for St. Louis. So now I get to see the preseason games, the Wisconsin feed, on a local station here in St. Louis. Isn't that fantastic? I feel like that is something to do with that.
So you're telling me that in St. Louis, which is, wow, was it 300 miles from Green Bay, 400 miles from Green Bay?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's right.
They have selected the Packers as, you know, their official team that they're going to follow, not one of the, you know, teams elsewhere in the Midwest, the Vikings, well, the Bears, you know.
So I think another station has picked the Chiefs. So
which would make sense.
That would make sense. That's like the NBC. But for the Fox, they leapfrogged Chicago and went up to Upper Wisconsin to Green Bay. I just think that's fantastic. So I got to watch the preseason. And now I don't know why I'm buying DirecTV anymore.
That's another struggling company. They're owned by AT&T, and that is a company that needs every dollar that you can give them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thanks for setting me straight on that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But yeah, I thought that was really big news, and everyone I know has told me that that's the case, and I kind of feel like I had a hand in that, so I'm pretty happy.
Well, you know, this has just been kind of an up with people kind of podcast, you know?
Right.
Feels so much better, you know?
Yeah. Way to start the weekend.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's the plan, people. Packers are going to, you know, do their thing this week. I think they go back to practicing tomorrow, I think, on Sunday. They'll go out to the West Coast. They'll play a game on Friday. We will have a podcast for you on Saturday, and we'll track all the stuff that we've been tracking so far in this preseason, perhaps with a little more clarity, hopefully without any more injury news.
Yeah.
But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy. I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.